Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. Fourth and final hour of our get together. We call it the 9 o'clock stretch. And yeah, stretching is good for you. Let's say it's 9:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. Greg, I know you're over there trying to keep your hands warm. Yes. And stuff. You gonna make it?
Well, we've only got another hour to go, so
you want me to bring some long johns? I got some long johns.
Oh, I got some at home, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, wait, you gotta dress appropriately. Look.
Yeah, for the studio.
Most
apparently.
Of the time,
yeah.
The studio's too hot. And I can only remove so many layers of clothing before you become
very uncomfortable.
Yes.
But the whole building is cold today.
Oh, I think it's good. I do. I think it's a good thing. I know. It does. The cool weather doesn't bother me.
Yep.
I'll tell you what bothers me.
What's that?
And I found this out when I was in North Georgia, a month ago or whatever. And it was pretty cold there. It was like 28. I think we got up one morning and
right.
There was ice on the windshield. And, you know, you got to let the truck warm up and then you want to warm up. And I couldn't go very far down the road before I felt completely nauseous by the heat. See, I'm sensitive to that. You know, that heat coming out, that's what I don't like. I like it initially.
Yeah.
Give me a break the cold,
right.
And then go ahead and give me some, like, fresher air. It just, yeah. I think my reaction is similar to somebody who would be in a confined space who doesn't like it.
I was going to say, you do kind of react to if it's hot and humid, that combination. You kind of have a claustrophobic reaction
yeah.
to that. That's the best way to describe it, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll find our happy medium.
Where's spring? So we like spring. We like spring and fall.
Yes, we do.
So
very much
we agree
so.
On that.
I knew this was coming. I can't believe it took this long. Well, yeah, maybe I can. Remember the 51 former Intel officials that signed a letter back in 2020 that claimed the release of emails from the laptop that came from Hunter Biden was Russian disinformation. That's what it basically said in that letter, signed by 51 former Intel officials. One of them was the ex-CIA director, John Brennan. I've never liked this guy. I've never trusted this guy. And then he took a gig. What was he on, like MSNBC or something? And he still had his security clearance, which I talked about. Greg did as well, saying, hey, what's the need there for security mm-hmm. clearance for these folks? And especially if you're on the air, you're disseminating all kinds of information all the time.
Right.
You know, I don't know that your mind is compartmentalized everything to go, oh, I can't go there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't go there. Oh, I hope I don't slip and say this.
Right.
If you're doing a show and anytime you're given, you know, your stream of consciousness, your thought process is out there in the open, so to speak, it would be hard to keep the confidential and top secret stuff quiet. It's gonna work its way in there. Or maybe you're receiving, a little like a gratuity for
yes.
a speaking engagement
yes.
or something with maybe a company or a project or a group of people that if you follow, you know, the rabbit hole, you find that the funding is coming from, oh, I don't know, let's say the Chinese Communist Party.
Hmm.
And that when you do have this information, all they ask in return is, you know, just mention something on the show or on the air or in a podcast that, you know, here's what we need to know, this information. Uh-huh. And if you're giving out information on bits and pieces like that, you're telling me they don't have Chinese communists who would disseminate all that?
Here's a crazy thought. Maybe you meet some chick named Fang Fang, and y'all just kind of get a little relationship going on, and you know things because you're on certain committees.
Well, that's a good thing that Swalwell, you're talking about, wasn't on that top intel.
But he was.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
But it was nice of the Chinese spy, Fang Fang, his side hustle, to help him out when he needed somebody to work in his office, and she just happened to know somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a coincidence that was.
That is, what do they call it? Girl Friday or something? Girl Monday?
So these things, they do happen.
They
do happen.
They do. So John Brennan is all butt sore because Trump basically had a security clearance revoked.
Oh, good.
By executive order, Trump revoked the security clearances of the 51 former intel officials who signed that bizarre letter with its bizarre timing right before the election. Many of them, I know, shocker, were supporters at the time of Joe Biden's campaign.
What?
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
The signatory said in the letter that they did not know if the emails are genuine or not, that we do not have evidence of Russian involvement, just that our experience makes us deeply suspicious that the Russian government played a significant role in this case. And remember, the FBI was already working with social media and warning them, hey, there's going to be some fake information, some disinformation. There's going to be some stuff coming down the pike. And we're going to help you identify that through our intelligence folks. We're going to help you identify that so you don't get sucked into it.
Mm, what helpers they are.
What, weren't they, though?
Oh, they are. So nice.
And sure enough, the New York Post breaks that story from the Hunter laptop, and they're like, oh, there it is, Zuckerberg, there it is. Quick. Hit all the dials and switches. I mean, Twitter knocked the New York Post completely off. Like, they had no Twitter at all. Knocked them off. Didn't do their due diligence. Didn't do any of their own homework.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. I mean, the FBI is, you know, if they were breathing over, you know, my neck right now, I'd be like, oh, it's a little uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we told you it's coming. There it is. There it is. Push that button. So,
we don't let Bob push buttons, actually.
and Brennan was among the signers. He called, though he called the executive order put out by Trump, he called that bizarre.
Oh, my goodness.
That was bizarre. Wow. He used that term, bizarre.
Wow.
Like,
no, it's a very smart move is what it is.
No. He said signatories of the letter falsely suggested that the news story was part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Trump's executive order said of the former intelligence officers who engaged in misleading and inappropriate political coordination with the 2020 Biden presidential campaign. So he's saying that Brennan's saying he misrepresented the facts in that executive order because it said that we had suggested, we just suggested that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. Gee, John Brennan, you know what you sound like?
Wow.
You sound like a cheap lawyer.
Yeah.
You sound like a cheap lawyer. Well, yeah, you see, they didn't actually see that initial. That initial doesn't look exactly like that initial over there. No. Nice try. Listen, there is a thing where you look at what's the overall thrust? What is the idea behind that letter? I mean, now, if they sent out 500 letters that year and said, oh, this came out, we found this in a Russian newspaper, you know, we saw this on the internet, this could be disinformation. If they had done that, like, hey, this is our regular thing. We're trying to update social media through our great intelligence connections. But that's not what they did. They knew exactly what they were doing. They worded it in such a way that after the fact, they could do exactly what they're trying to do now, weasel their way out of it. Nope. Trump will have none of that. Thank you, Lord. John Brennan.
So sleazy.
Hey, we're about 30 minutes away from things that make you smile. Good upbeat, happy thoughts. Think about that. Stay warm, my friends. It is another chilly start in the Sunshine State. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Hey, you never have to miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show. Simply download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe. A couple minutes ago, I was talking about John Brennan, former CIA director. He's embarrassed himself over and over again since then. He was one of the folks that signed off on that the laptop is Russian disinformation baloney, right before the election in 2020. And he's been on MSNBC as a senior national security analyst. Well, now he's crying like a big baby. You know why? Because Trump rightfully pulled a security clearance and anybody else who was on that list. Good, because they were attempting and may have, you know, created some election interference. It's what they set out to do. It's what they did. They knew already that absolutely that laptop was the real deal. It was Hunter's Biden. They knew it. They had it in their possession. The FBI did. And yet these folks came out of the woodwork and signed this knowing it was not true. Yes, I know the wording led you to believe, well, it could be. Well, it has all the earmarks of, oh, I know the pretty flowery language they used. I know exactly what they did. And they wrote it in such a way as they think they could hide behind it and go, well, we didn't say it was. We said it could be. Well, they knew it would be used in such a way to scare some voters. A scare tactic, hey.
And in some polling, people did say, well, you know, if I had known that, that might have affected my vote.
Yeah. And once again, we invoke the Karl Marx rule, which is part of the playbook of Karl Marx and Marxism is you call your enemy what you are. So I was thinking about it because, let's see, it was, I think it was February 24. Yeah, here it is. So here's John Brennan, former CIA director, hates Trump. He claimed that Russia at that time was using Republican politicians as tools. Now, I didn't hear that really on any sort of widespread thing. And usually, you know, they're in sync. The Dems are, the left is, you know, the politicians and the media, you know what I mean? It's almost like it's so well rehearsed. You can put a collage together where they all say the same, basically the same line. You've heard it before. You've seen it before. Well, in this case, I didn't hear a lot of that, but it makes you wonder if John Brennan is playing by the Karl Marx book, you know, they call you what they are. And when he says Russia is using Republican politicians as tools, you wonder, okay, what's he hiding? What's really going on? We can use their finger of pointing and we can reverse that and go, okay, are you working with the Russians? Probably not. But we're getting warm. Could you be working with... Look, Putin's not going to pay anybody anything. He didn't have any money. No. He's got a giant gas station known as Russia and debt, you know, up to the ceiling. He's not in a position to be greasing palms and stuff. Who is? Could it be the Chinese Communist government? And we talked about the Feng Fang thing and Congressman Swalwell out of California, and he was cavorting, hanging out with, sleeping with a Chinese spy. And the FBI gives him a heads up, and he tells her, and she leaves the country. They didn't have any interview with her. They didn't pick her up. Huh. Huh. Why is that? Could it be somebody or somebodies in the Biden administration is getting some sort of income or something else of value in return for some help? Would you really be shocked? So when Brennan does that, pointing the finger, and turn that right around and go, huh. And a guy who was a former CIA director, he might know a few things. Mm-hmm. All right. This is not a... Well, it's not a lengthy story because it's just kind of a break and we're just getting information on it. But outrage is intensifying after Israeli hostages recently freed from Gaza revealed that they were held in UN facilities during their captivity. Really? And this was part of that UNRWA. And critics that have kind of caught on to what's been going on there, they basically call it a front for Hamas that must be disbanded immediately. So think about it. They're hostages, and they're being held in UN facilities. Yeah, what's wrong with that picture? Now, Trump has already taken proactive action. We're out of the Paris Accords. Those were green new garbage deals. Garbage for the American consumer, taxpayer, worker. Bad, bad, bad. So good. Oh, and he got us out of it before, and then Biden jumped us right back into it again. And then he took a step further and he said, WHO, World Health Organization, we're done with you. And that's a kind of a branch, a subsidiary of the UN as well. So maybe we are taking steps to, I don't know, decouple from the United Nations. It wouldn't be a bad idea. I know others have argued that point, and they do make valid points as to why staying part of it and having this veto power of actions that other nations want to take, there probably is some value still to being there. But at the very least, we need to expose them all the time, any chance we get, for what they really are. And maybe push for the formation of something better. How can you get a country that's communistic and controlling and allow them like to sit on the Human Rights Committee? Like Iran?
Yeah.
I mean, where in the world would that possibly make sense? It's like,
that's an oxymoron.
Look, why have a Human Rights Committee if you can't even define human rights as saying, well, yeah, you shouldn't have to like cover yourself from head to toe to go out in public. And if you do, you better have a male escort that is either your husband, your father, your brother,
mm-hmm.
or we'll just stone you to death. That's not,
seems
I don't think that's
harsh.
Like a human rights thing.
Yeah, not, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not an expert, you know?
Right, but it's like other things. You know it when you see it.
Yeah. All right. Is that economic engine already starting to fire up? Huh? Manufacturing getting pumped up? Hemis and turbocharging. Yeah. American muscles coming back. I've got a good story to share with you. Coming up next on the Bob Rose Show, Greg Cassidy is here. We're also about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. Stay close and stay warm. 97.3 The Sky. It's all about the Frisbees. Yeah, I said it plural.
Yeah.
Nobody else will be able to put this together except for you and I, Greg.
Yeah.
It is 9:36. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Thursday. Hope you're staying warm, my friends. Things that make you smile coming up in a little bit. Muscle cars returning, possibly. But first, I like it. Greg does a lot of this off the air, shares it with me, and sometimes I forget. But on this day, some of the On This Day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And give us the one that I think was 1957.
Whammo produced the first Frisbee.
Whammo.
Now, the interesting thing was, because of the history of it, the name Frisbee comes from the Frisbee Pie Company from 1871. But the employees would throw the pie pans at each other and yell, Frisbee!
Is that really true?
Yes, and they would yell, Frisbee. And then there was actually a company that had done a little, like, a plastic flying saucer that was actually better than the tin pie plates. But then it was actually, and they, of course, eventually Whammo, they had the Pluto platter. And, of course, we just call them Frisbees is what they became. So, anyway.
But it was based on the Frisbee Pie Company.
Throwing pie pans at each other.
So you could say, it took them like 80 years.
Well, you don't want to rush into a good idea. You got to make sure you're going to get it right.
Yeah, well, if you're eating a bunch of that pie, you might not feel like getting a lot done.
I enjoy playing Frisbee. I know that sounds maybe silly, but I
like
it. It's fun.
And there's nothing wrong with
it. It's probably my best sport.
Why would any? Wait, have you taken flack on it in the past?
No, not really. I don't know.
I mean, if I think of Frisbee golf.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
I think of, everybody being stoned.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Bunch of stoners.
Oh.
And I know you're probably not supposed to generalize like that, but I can do it on my show.
Oh, what's your show? You can do what you want.
Yeah, I'm not like picking a fight or anything.
Sure.
I'm just saying that's what I think of.
That's funny.
Because that's all I have ever witnessed playing it.
Really?
I'm sure good, nice, religious boys and girls of all ages have played it and enjoyed it. And that's cool. And look, anytime you're getting out in the park and exercising is a good thing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's kind of been my experience.
About that. Yeah.
Dude, let's go play Frisbee golf, man.
Wow.
Now, they've had some stuff. I think at UF, they'll do like some Frisbee football, where you're playing like a football game, but using a Frisbee instead of the football. And seems like that looks like good, clean fun.
Yeah.
All right. And to my story that I talked about a little bit in advance. Stellantis, which is now...
They own Chrysler, yeah.
Yeah, they own a bunch of stuff, right?
They do.
Is there a bunch of stuff under that umbrella?
Yep.
They are set to reopen its assembly plant in Belvidere, Illinois, and ramp up production in Detroit.
Yep.
Instead of Canada, after its chairman met with President Donald Trump just ahead of his Monday inauguration. The manufacturer will produce the next generation Dodge Durango SUVs in Detroit, as well as a new midsize pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
When did they discontinue the Dakota, do you know, offhand?
Wow, it's been a few years.
Has it been a while?
Yeah, it's been a few years.
They'll do this at the Belvidere Jeep plant, which was shut down in February of 23, and that location employed about 5,000 people across three shifts in 2019. And it put out 190,000 Jeep Cherokees that year before sales fell and two shifts were cut in 2022, according to the New York Times, when Stellantis, headquartered in the Netherlands, announced an indefinite closure of the plant. Some 1,350 people were put out of work.
2010. I looked it up. They wrapped it up in 2010.
Well, 2008 was a big crash in America for,
it was.
With the whole mortgage crisis and all of that.
And that affected the truck market huge. I mean, you couldn't get rid of a full-size pickup truck.
And I just think, the new car market in general really took it. All your purchases really took a hit.
It did.
The positive news from the company comes after a long simmering dispute with the United Auto Workers over vehicle assembly sites, particularly plans to shift production of certain vehicles to Ontario. According to the Detroit News, the multinational company produces several other brands, including Chrysler and Ram, and they suffered a troubling trend of production cuts, mass layoffs of American employees in favor of hiring low-wage workers overseas and committing billions to manufacturing electric vehicles. Despite consumer data showing that the U.S. drivers are sticking with gas. And one of the UAW's major grievances was the company's former plan to produce the upcoming Durango SUV, which is expected by 2026 in Windsor, Ontario, instead of Detroit. But now the plans are they're back to Detroit. So Trump met with the folks from Stellantis, and he is creating American jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what it sounds like?
What's that?
It sounds like he's looking out and putting Americans first.
Well, that's what he said he was going to do. It's kind of nice when politicians do what they say.
It is.
So we're not used to that.
It's shocking to the left.
I know. They don't understand that concept.
I mentioned this earlier. Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi, her Senate Judiciary Committee hearing is delayed 1 week. And under the Senate rules, they're allowed to do that. Now, they can't go any longer than 7 days. And I believe they have to immediately vote, or at least within that first day back. I believe they have to vote. Yeah, they have to hold a final vote on Bondi's nomination. So that means they won't meet until January 29th.
So that's not that far away.
No, it's a week away, but yeah. I mean, you know,
yeah,
tick, you know, tick, tick, tick. Yeah. Time is money, and it's not politics as usual. It's not government jobs as usual. So they know to get things done, they have to work at breakneck speed and make things happen quickly, and then we'll get the economic recovery we're looking for, bring down the debt and the deficit. And also another story about get Putin, get him to figure out what he wants, and let's stop this war. I mean, Trump said it, you know, he posted, he's like, it's cost money, cost lives, you know, you're not getting anywhere, you've got to, you know, figure this out. And I think that I think we'll have something maybe in the next 60 days that'll, you know, maybe not a full announcement of, you know, that war is over, but I think we'll have something.
A direction, at least.
Yes.
Like a plan.
That is extremely positive.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because he said, look, Putin, you do it the easy way, the hard way. You can work this thing out, or I'm just going to hammer you with taxes and tariffs and, you know, anything else that I can do to hurt you economically. He knows that Russia's not in a good economic position right now anyway. So we'll see. And that's not what most people want. They don't want war. They got to figure it out. They got to work it out. Yeah, he's 2025. Really? We're still throwing rocks at each other?
Yeah, I
Come
know.
Come on. That's Come on, man.
Cool. Yep.
You know what God's saying? Come on, man. Literally.
Is that really? Which version is
Come
that?
Come on, man.
What version is that?
That's in the Right Now Bible.
Oh, the Right Now.
Right Now. Right Now, he's saying, come on, man. Stop throwing rocks at each other. AOC. Oh, she can throw a rock or two, can't she? She's going out of her way to really help non-citizens. Really helping them.
I believe
really going
that.
Out of her way.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them all kinds of legal advice. Yeah. Tell everybody. You got to know your rights. Now, she did include this. She said both citizens and non-citizens to know their rights. Okay. But she basically said you don't have to open the door. Tell them that you want to see a warrant. Make sure it's a real warrant, not some other legalese that they might try to produce to get in. Don't talk. Stay silent. Get a lawyer. Remember, anything you say or do can be used against you. She did say you should not lie. That was good advice.
If you even talk to them at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't have to talk to them if you don't want to.
I mean, here's the thing. She didn't say anything that's, I mean, terrible per se. But she just realized that she's given advice to a group of people that within that group, there's plenty of ne'er-do-wells.
So who's she taking care of?
Well, that's, you know.
She's supposed to be representing people.
Well, she's supposed to be
Americans.
Representing citizens first because, well, the citizens are the ones that voted, and she is supposed to be representative of their needs. Yeah, you're supposed to look for the needs and the well-being of your constituency. But, again, it goes along with what Biden and many have done on the left. Put America last. Put them in the back seat. You need health care? Illegal? Get over here.
Yeah.
You need waivers? Get your job, whatever? Give me that. Need a little handout, little help out? Go ahead and stay in that hotel. Oh, it's $300 a night? Now we got you covered. It's cool.
Yeah, we'll kick some veterans out. Move on in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then wonder, scratch their heads when they got their butts kicked in the last election. What happened? They voted for that Hitler guy. Un- believable. Marco Rubio, a couple of things he's done since becoming Secretary of State right away. He said the COVID era is over. Work from home, over. Get back to work.
There you go.
Report to work in Washington, D.C.
But there's COVID out there.
They can try to use whatever they want, and maybe they will come to terms with some sort of a hybrid thing and work remotely sometime. I don't know, whatever. But I think he's going to be looking for the efficiency of the State Department first and foremost before he is concerned about, you know, the lifestyle of any one or several individuals working within the State Department, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. The other thing he did was he said, stop the nonsense with the flags. Yeah, we've got embassies and outposts all around the world. You proudly fly the American flag above all those embassies, but there's no need for these Black Lives Matter flags or gay pride flags.
There you go.
And so, we're done with that.
I like it.
Yeah. Just moving forward, just getting some of these. I mean, President Trump used it. Common sense stuff. I like to say logical, but
yeah.
Then maybe you come off sounding like, you know, Spock.
Yes. That is highly illogical.
Oh, speaking of which, speaking of aliens, Aliens is back.
Oh, good.
Aliens as a term, it is back in a big way because President Trump said it is.
Well, there you go.
Biden was using the term for illegal immigrants. He was using the term newcomers.
Yeah.
Newcomers.
So if somebody breaks in your house, they're a new visitor or something?
Yeah.
A newcomer to your living room?
They would be.
Yeah.
They would be. And depending on whose house, it would be.
Uh-huh.
You might be exiting in a different fashion that you entered, but
that
might be a story for another day. Or
yes,
maybe a story for the smoking gun, which is all coming up. But you know what's coming up next?
Yep.
Things that make you smile. We're looking for your upbeat, positive thoughts, non-political, you can do it. Things that make you smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry with Dr. Samantha Annis. Call in right now, 877-975-9825. I hate everyone. Let's just get that out because it's time for things that make you smile.
It's so true.
Upbeat positive thoughts. Only no politics. You can. I can't do it, but you can do it. 877-975-9825. In fact, that's why we invented the segment.
Yes.
Because, nobody makes me smile. So, I had to move on. But clearly, it's brought to you by Transformation Dentistry and Dr. Samantha Annis, and we appreciate that. 877-975-9825. And Mike, what's making you smile?
Good morning, fellas. Isn't it been great? Nice and chilly. Can't wait to get the car out again. Anyway, what makes me smile is I had a delightful conversation with my out-of-touch sister way up in the bowels of the woods of southwestern New York in neck-deep snow. She's been having phone problems, so I did get a hold of her, and we had a nice chat for 4 hours and 8 minutes, and we were both very happy for that. We only have our own brothers, and her brothers, there's 5 of us. She's in the middle. Well, anyway, have a great day.
You too. Yep, a nice, good conversation with family, always a good thing. Let's go to Mark. What's making you smile?
Hey, good morning. What makes me smile is God is so great that he saved my life last weekend. I had a second heart attack, but he pulled me through and got me to the doctors in time, and I just wanted to say thank you to the people in the hospital for taking care of me, the ambulance drivers and all that. I mean, they were great. God's great. Everything was fine. So that's what's making me smile.
Yeah. Well, it's also going to make you contemplate, what was the purpose? Why were you supposed to be here a little bit longer? What do you need to finish? What do you need to do?
Perspective.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, you can smile the whole time while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your participation and things that make you smile, brought to you by Transformation Dentistry. Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
From day one to the full 4 years of Trump's second term,
we're going to make America great again.
Complete coverage and what it means here.
Thanks Sky.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. President Donald Trump is going to go out Friday to California and meet with Governor Gavin Newsom and also Mayor Karen Bass. who failed to protect their city. Well, this wouldn't be the first time that Newsom and Trump have had some serious conversations about wildfires. In fact, President Trump years ago told him some of the things that he needed to do and some of the investments in infrastructure, and Newsom didn't do it. And Trump knows, and he has proof that he didn't listen. He said, look at the smoking rubble. Yeah, and that's your smoking gun. The smoking gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot, GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. Stay warm. See ya.